confidential reason. I said, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya, wanted to understand and taste the love that Radharani is tasting. This is known as, it was mentioned, Rudhabhav. This term, Rudhabhav, is mentioned in the Bhagavatam in chapter 46, 10th canto. When Uddhava comes to Vrindavan, being sent by Krishna with a message for the gopis, and when he comes here and he observes their love, he explains in Sanskrit that their love is Rudha, Rudhabhav. Well, Rudhabhav is actually, he's explaining, Rudhabhav means Mahabhav. So Mahabhav means Mahabhav, great bhav, great love, great emotions. So this, now, in this whole section, for several verses, Krishna's Kaviraj is going to explain what is the nature of that Rudhabhav. What is it and what is it not? So this Rudhabhav is prema. What type of prema? It is the gopis prema. And where are the gopis? They're in Vrindavan. So this is Braja prema, Braja gopi prema. And even that prema, the prema of Vrindavan, it has different levels. Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. And then mahabhav has two divisions. Mohanakya, madanakya mahabhav, mohanakya mahabhav. Then when you go to mohanakya mahabhav, then you have divyonmad. Divyonmad. Divya unmad. Divya means transcendental, and unmad means madness. Transcendental madness. Divyonmad. And then you have chitrajalpa. Chitrajalpa means you become so mad that you see your beloved in a bumblebee. Oh, you unreliable servant of an unreliable master. This is Brahmar Gita. This is the highest expression of Mahabhav, which is only within Radharani. Although other gopis experience Mahabhav, but not at this level. So this is the topmost discussion of spiritual love, divine love, pure love. It's a very, very high topic. But it is our treasure. It is our very force of our life is to attain this love and the service of the Brijvasis, the gopis, Vrindavan, or the gopas, Radha and Krishna Vrindavan. So in this verse, to set the stage for discussing the intricacies and the specific nature of the gopis' love, this Rudhabhav or Mahabhav, Krishna's Kaviraj presents an analogy, a comparison. He says that the pure love of the gopis is called Shuddha Prem. Shuddha Prem means the pure love, Shuddha. Shuddha Prem, the pure love of the gopis, it is like gold. And this so-called love of the material world is like loha, iron. Gold is very valuable. Very, very valuable. Gold is very attractive. Gold is very brilliant in color. Iron is very black in color. Opposite color. Iron is worth a few rupees. 1 kilo of iron is a few rupees. 1 kilo of gold. How many rupees is that? Someone must be knowing. The ladies probably know. Because they're always buying the gold bangles, so they surely know how much. 1 kilo of gold. Yes, Maharaj, that's this many rupees. I'm trying to accumulate, but my husband only gives me 2 or 3 bangles. I have a few grams. I want 1 kilo. So this gold is very valuable. Very costly thing. But iron, anyone can buy a kilo of iron. 1 rupee, five rupees, whatever. But can anyone buy a kilo of gold? No. A very rare person, Gaurapati or wealthy man. So in the same way, everyone in this material world is satisfied with this trivial, insignificant expression of bhava called kam. Kam means the love of this world. Kam means I will scratch your back if you scratch my back. If you stop scratching my back, then I won't scratch your back. It's called mutual exploitation. Mutual exploitation. This is material love. Oh, she loves me so much. Oh, and I love her so much. And then one day he loses his job. and he has no money. And he tries so hard to get a job and get money. And his wife is saying, where's the money? Bring the money. And then there's no more, she's not saying, I love you so much, and she's not scratching your back anymore. She's scratching your heart with her razor sharp words. Vridayam shuradarabhyam. Vridayam shuradarabhyam. So, this so-called love of this material world is, I will exploit you to satisfy my senses and to enjoy, and you will exploit me. I will allow you to exploit me for your pleasure, only if I can exploit you. So this is called kama. This is very black. This is selfishness. It's totally self-centered. Me. I want this. I need that. I need woman. I want woman. If I have some itch, some itching sensation, yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. I want some mitun. So I must get one woman. And then the lady is thinking, yes, my breasts are burning. My breasts are burning with desire to be embraced by a powerful man. And I also have itch. So let me find one man. So she's not thinking, oh, I want to serve some man. I want to dedicate my life. She's thinking, I'm feeling lusty. I have desire. I need something for me, for my pleasure. Self-centered. The center is me. Self. The center, Atma, means body, mind, soul. But in this case, Atma means body, senses, indriya. So this is the madness of this world, that everyone thinks this is love. Oh, she loves me. So see how powerful Maya is. This man is 25 years old. This lady is 21. They have just met. The parents have arranged the marriage, and now they're married. He's 25, she's 21. And she chants this mantra. I cannot live without you. He believes it. And he says, yes, dasosmi. Dasosmi. I am your servant. I am your faithful servant. I will serve you day and night. Yes, don't be afraid. I will take care of you. I will maintain you. I will protect you. I will nourish you. I will satisfy you. As long as you satisfy me. So then they're married. But he never thinks for one moment. She says, I cannot live without you. Oh, yes. Well, wait a minute. She says, I can't live without you. Let me think about this. She's 21. I'm 25. I never knew her before. She never knew me. How did she exist for the last 21 years? How did she live? How did she live? How did she exist and live for the last 21 years when I wasn't there? Because she told me last night when we were in the... She says, I cannot live without you. But wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. So she already lived 21 years without me. And if I die tomorrow, she's not going to say, oh, my husband died, I better die. So for that 1 minute, you're thinking, and then he gets captured with these mantras, just like the elephant. Elephant is walking in the forest. And the she-elephant says, hey, buddy. Hey. She's pretty. Look at that waist. Look at that nose. Such a beautiful elephant. I've never seen such a nice nose. And her ears. Oh, her ears are so nice. And he tells his friends, hey, look at her ears. You see how the way they flap? They must be 2 meters long. Those are the long, that girl's got that Padmini. Padmini means elephant. That Padmini, she has those pretty ears. Did you see her hips? Whoa. I can't control myself. So then the elephant runs after that female elephant who's trained to walk like this and then walk like this. When she walks like this, she walks straight. And then she's trained to turn right and go like that. But where she turns right, there's a big hole. There's a big hole in the ground. And there's a lot of grass and banana leaves and little pieces of bamboo put over that hole to support the... There's some bamboo pieces, some bants, and some leaves on top. So the elephant says, wow, baby, He says, look at that elephant. Most pretty elephant I've ever seen in Delhi. And then, I have to meet her. So he runs, and he's following her tail, right like this, and then she turns. But he's going so fast that he can't turn. Boom, in the hole. He's finished. And he goes, oh, hey, what happened? And then she goes away. It's the same thing. They say, I cannot live without you. You're my everything. Oh, I love you more than anyone in the world. And then the husband is a slave to life. So this is so-called love. It's all exploitation. As soon as the husband's money is finished, then he's finished. Or as soon as he has no power, then he's finished. They're not talking about dedication, absolute surrender, selflessness. But when we talk about prema, prema is so valuable. It's very rare and it's very valuable. And it's very heavy. Gold is very heavy. Iron is also heavy, but gold is heavier. Iron, this much iron weighs so much, but this much gold weighs more. It's very heavy and very costly. And it has its attributes. That's why it's rare to have a kilo of gold. So it's rare to have Krishna praying. Because to have that consciousness, to have that mentality, that bhava of total dedication to another, everything for the other person. Krishna, I love you so much. I love you so much that if you find happiness in making me unhappy, if you derive happiness by making me sad and unhappy, then that unhappiness that I experience at your cost becomes the source of my greatest happiness. This is an Antilila, one verse by Srimati Radharani. In her Mahabhav, she's explaining, because the points that are mentioned here in Antilila, this is only a summary. This gives a basic, this is like Gyan and Vigyan. Siddhanta, Tattva Vichar, the truth, the philosophy, the principles, the theory of prema. Now the vigyan, the practical application, the experience, the lila vichar, or the lila. We have tattva vichar, the consideration of the truth. We have, what is the truth of pure love? What is the truth of Krishna prema? And what is the difference, the comparison, the similarities and the differences between Krishna prema and material lust, kama and prema? This is the philosophy, the tattva. And then, in Antilila, in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and Gambira, Gambira means deep. Gambira means very deep, unfathomable, like the ocean. In the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, it's very deep. It's 5 miles, 6 miles deep. So deep. And in places you can't find the bottom. It's so deep. So Gambira, the Lila, the pastimes of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya in Gambira and Jagannath Puri are very deep. You can't find the end. So there in Gambira, Lord Chaitanya, he showed all of this tattva. He showed all of this tattva in Leela. He had pastimes where he showed the effect. What is the effect of someone who's experiencing Mahabhav? How do they walk? How do they talk? How do they act? How do they feel? And Lord Chaitanya's Antilila, it's called the Antilila of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's showing this Divyonmad and this Chitra Japa of Radharani. It's an introduction to this section. It said that the emotions of Lord Chaitanya were the same. What he was experiencing and showing was the same that Uddhava saw when he went to Vrindavan. In the chapter 46 and 47 of Bhagavad Gita. I mean, of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the actual, we read about here these, so many days we'll discuss this philosophy and truth of prema, pure spiritual love. And in Antilila, we will see it all exhibited. It will be displayed and shown, and we'll see all. And then in that time, in Antilila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Mahabhav mood of Srimati Radharani, he speaks this verse. How that, just try to understand what he's saying. He means Radharani. What Radharani is saying in her Mahabhav. She's saying, oh Krishna, if you find happiness, as I mentioned, in breaking my heart and cutting me 100 pieces, if that gives you happiness, then fine. Although I'm completely destroyed and devastated and unhappy and brokenhearted, but if you get a thrill from that, if you get satisfaction, happiness from that, then that unhappiness becomes the source of my greatest happiness. This one shloka from Anti Lila will give you some glimmer, some glimpse into the inconceivable depth of surrender and selflessness of the Brijvasis, which is epitomized in the personality and form of Srimati Radharani. So that's why it wants to make it very clear. If you put just like a child, well, there's a baby, there's a ceremony when the child is about, I don't know, 6 months or 1 year or something, it's called Anaprashna. 6 months. 6 months is Anaprashna. That's when they put the Bhagavatam there. They give the first grains, and then they put the Bhagavatam on one side, some Shastra, and the other side they put gold coins and this and that. Not sure. Anyway, what I saw here a few times with Trikala, they had a golden spoon and they gave their son sweet rice, and at the same time they were doing this thing with the coins and the books and that. So his son went head first into the rupees. he was sitting like this, and on one side there was rupees and notes, and the other side there was shastras. So he was going like this, the way they sit. Huh? Ravanari's son took the shastras. There you go. That's very good. Jai ho, Radhapati Sarathi. So if you have a child and you put in front of him one piece of iron, one piece of loha, and one piece of, what do they say, sona? What do they say for gold? Hema. One piece of gold, hema, and one piece of loha. He will be attracted to the gold, because it's shiny, and his eyes full. Because it's a natural attraction. He doesn't have to think. He doesn't know, oh, gold is more valuable than iron, I should go for the gold. He sees the gold and he sees it's attractive. So this is the same thing, the nature. When the soul becomes innocent, when we become innocent like a baby, when we become pure like a baby, then the soul is attracted to the love of Krishna, the love of the Brijvasis. Just like the baby is attracted to the gold. But this, the dealings in this material world, they are like, just like a lump of iron. They're just insignificant, worthless. But we're so mad, we become so mad, as I mentioned, the newly married man becomes mad when he hears his wife chant these shlokas. He loses, mad means you lose your intelligence. Mad means you become crazy. You do not act with logic or reason. Someone says something that's false and you believe it. As someone comes up to you and says, do you know I'm the Prime Minister? So if you're crazy, you say, oh yeah, you must be the Prime Minister. So there's two crazy people. One is the person who says I'm the Prime Minister, and another person says, I believe it. You must be. You seem like the Prime Minister. But Prabhupada said, one should know very clearly, he makes his point. One should try to discriminate between sexual love and pure love. Sexual love means body to body, yoni and linga. Right? Yoni and linga. This is sexual love. Vivek. Vivek means discrimination. Vichar, vivek. Vivek, we have to use our vivek, our discrimination. Is this the same? Is spiritual love the same? No. Because in spiritual love, the gopis, they never think, oh, I'm feeling lusty. The word kam is used here. Sometimes in describing the gopis' prema, it's called kam. Because their desire is so intense, they're so mad, and so their desire is so intense to please Krishna and to satisfy the senses of Krishna that it's sometimes compared to lust. Because we can understand that. The acharyas can understand. I mean, the acharyas use the word lust to describe the pure love of the gopis. It is used, that word, sometimes kam, because we understand what kam is all about. We are experiencing the arrows of Cupid, Panchasharai. Kandarpa is Cupid. Panchasharai means arrows. He has five arrows. Rupa, Skanda, Sparsha, Rasa, Shabda. So, Kandarpa, Cupid, lust personified, he shoots our senses, he shoots our heart with the arrows. A desire for seeing beautiful form, or hearing sweet music, or tasting nice flavors and tastes. Rasa. And Sparsha, we want to touch something soft and warm or whatever. So this is the effect of that Cupid has. He's shooting the arrows, and when the arrows hit the heart of the conditioned soul, then he feels the burning sensation. He feels the burning of lust. And everyone knows what lust is all about. At least once you cross 15 years old, or maybe sooner. When you're 10 years old, or 5, or 8, or 7, you're just playing with your friends, and everything's nice, then all of a sudden, you become a young man or a young lady. Whoa. 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 What's happening to me? And maybe you ask your older brother or your father, if you have a close relationship, you know, I'm feeling like this. All of a sudden, this girl across the street is becoming very attractive to me. Before, I didn't care about the girl across the street, but now I'm very interested. And then your father says, yes, young man, now you're becoming a man. And then the lady says, Mommy, Mom, Mata or Madan, whatever you say, Mom, you know, boys are very, very attractive. I like boys. Huh? You like boys? What? So this lust starts to grow, this Prarabdha karma starts to fructify. And the lust starts to grow, and starts to burn, starts to singe our mind and our heart. It's just burnt like someone has a candle under our rear end. Ooh. It gets hot. We get hot. The fever. 7-year itch. The fever of lust. Kamdwara. Dwara? What's fever? How do you say fever? Kamdwara? Dwara. Kamdwara. Dwara. Oh, Jay, with a Dwara. Yeah, Dwara, like Dwalalita. There's Dwalalita, there's different types of Tathik Bhav. Dwalalita, Dumayita, Dumayitva. So, burning. Dwal. Kamdwara. The burning fire of lust. And all you're thinking when that fire is burning in the heart is, I need a woman, I need a woman, I need a woman, I need a woman. I have to get one. Then the woman's thinking, I need a man, I need a man, I need a man. This is Maya. Burning at both ends. So therefore, everyone knows that drive, that we're being pushed and driven by that lust to connect with woman, to surrender to woman or to man. So we know what kama is about, lust. So then the acharyas, they say, yes, the shuddha prema of the gopis of Vrindavan, it is like kama. They're driven, they're burning. Their hearts are burning with the desire to please Krishna. Whereas when a man or woman of this world are infected by lust, their hearts are burning with the desire to satisfy me. To satisfy my genital, and my chest, and my breast, and my lips. You understand my language? Gaura Govinda Swami would speak like that. But the gopis, they're not burning with the desire, I want Krishna to please me, I want Krishna to satisfy me, I want Krishna to envelop me and wrap me in his arms and satisfy my lust. There's no thought like that. They never think for one second. So they're in day and night, they're thinking, whoa, Krishna's walking in the forest of the coward boys? And his feet are so soft and tender that when we hold his feet on our breast, we can understand. Because if your hands are rough and you hold someone's hand, like a man's hand, if he's a working man, his hands have calluses. Something like called callus. And they're rough. They're hard and rough. And when he holds his wife's hand, he feels, oh, her hand is so soft. Her hand is so tender and so small. My hand's so big, I'm just... And so he experiences the softness, the tenderness of the wife's hand. So the same thing when the gopis are holding Krishna's feet on their breast, they understand by direct experience, oh, Krishna's feet are softer than the skin on our breast. And the breast is like fat. I mean, it's, well, their bodies are transcendental. But the breast is very soft and tender. But Krishna's feet are softer than that. They're softer, they're like butter. So the gopis are worried, oh, our Krishna, oh, and they're crying, oh, Krishna, can't we? And they start meditating. They meditate. Let us, then they go to the pasturing ground, they go to the goshta, the gopis go to the goshta, and they lie down one by one, and they make a chain. One gopi lies like this, another gopi lies behind her, another gopi in front, and they make a road of gopis. Gopis' bodies. And they're thinking, Krishna, you walk on our backs. You walk on us. Don't walk on the ground of Vrindavan. There's so many stickers and thorns and bubbles, all this. You walk on our bodies. We'll make a carpet for you of our bodies so that your tender feet will not be scratched or have any difficulty in walking. This is their mentality. Everything for Krishna. So this is and so that's a madness. The gopis are also mad. It's called that their love, their prema is described as divya unmad. Our so-called material sexual love of this material world is also madness. It's unmad. Mud means madness, right? Mud. And unmad means increased, accelerated, aggravated. Turned up to the max. Unmad. But the gopis, their unmad is not like our unmad. There's dibya. Dibya means transcendental. Beyond this world. Beyond the limitations and considerations of the selfishness and exploitation of this material world. Their love is totally selfless. Their every atom of their existence is dedicated to the center, to Krishna, for his happiness and pleasure. So so when we read about the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis and Rasa Lila and other Julan, all different pastimes, we can understand, oh, what is the nature of their love? And we are meant to develop that mentality. That's why when one approaches a spiritual master, Tadvati Pranipatena Pariprashnaya Sevaya, Pariprashnaya Sevaya, we should render seva. We should surrender to the feet of the Guru and serve him like a humble, in a humble way. That's like a menial servant. Because that seva, by serving the feet of the spiritual master, one will develop the necessary selflessness and humility. Because the gopis are the perfection of humility. There is no one in this entire material existence that's so humble. They have no desire for themselves. Their love is described as sadharani, then samanjasa, and samartha. Samartha, the samartha prema, that when you analyze the gopis of Vrindavan and Kubja and the Dwarka Mahishis, the queens of Vrindavan, they all have prema, a type of love for Krishna. But the gopis of Vrindavan is called samartha. That all their only object, everything in their goal of object, is Krishna's pleasure. For Sadharani, Kubja had Sadharani prema. And she was attracted and she only wanted to offer herself to Krishna, no one else, but she had a desire for her own pleasure. Her desire to love Krishna and to serve Krishna is, he's so beautiful. He's so handsome, strong and sweet and attractive. I want to experience his love. So there was some selfishness there in Kubja, Trivakra, Kubja's love. And the queens of Dwarka, their love is described as samanjasa. Samanjasa means that they want to give everything to Krishna, but they also have some small desire to get a little pleasure in return. Like Rukmini. When Krishna was playing with Rukmini, and he was teasing her, and he said, oh, you made a big mistake marrying me. You should have married Jarathan, Shishupal. You should have married Shishupal. He's so powerful and so wealthy. He's a famous Kshatriya. No one even knows my caste. What is my Varna? Am I a Kshatriya or am I a Vaishya? I have a questionable upbringing. I was raised in the cow dung village of Braj. And then I went to Mathura and I put on a king's uniform. I threw away my Gopavesh and put on Rajvesh. So people think I'm a hypocrite. Are you a Gopa? Are you a king? What are you? Why don't you be what you are? Why, you're a Gopa, so be a Gopa. Why try to pretend you're a king? And so you should have married Jarathan. So Rukmini is fanning Krishna and she thinks, what is he saying? How can he say this? So because she was attached to her own pleasure, she couldn't bear these words. Because of the Samanjasa Rati, it's called Samanjasa Rati. She wants a little pleasure from Krishna. Now if this was Radharani, if Radharani was hearing this, or any of the gopis of Vrindavan, they would think, alright, Krishna's deriving pleasure. Krishna's speaking like this. He's joking with me, or even if it was Satyabhama. But they would think, okay, let him torture me with his words like this. But I don't mind, because if he's torturing me with his words, but he's enjoying it, then let me be tortured. And they wouldn't faint. None of the gopis would faint. If they were faint doing chamara and Krishna spoke like that, they'd say, oh yes, yes. Yes, I think I will marry Shishupal. I'll call him on my cell phone right now. One hand chamara, other hand cell phone. Hello, Shishupal? Huh. This is Satyabhama. Actually, you know, the deal's off. Dwarkadish and I, we had a break in our relationship, and the deal's off, and I'm still available, if you'll take me. So there's these, even when someone is offering themselves to Krishna, in Prem, there's three divisions: Sadharani Rati, Samanjasa Rati, and Samartha Rati. The love. Kuja is offering her love to Krishna in Mathura. The gopis are offering her love in Braj. And the queens of Mahishi are offering her love to Krishna in Dwarka. There's different flavors. So this, now we're going to hear about the gopi, Braja Prem, Shuddha, Vishuddha Prem, the topmost, purest expression of love. So we are aspiring for that. So by every day, Dasosmi, serving our spiritual master, we're developing that mood of surrender. That Sharanagati Bhav, we say, people lie in front of the deities and they've offered dandavat and they say, oh, Prabhu, Prabhu, Sharanagati, Sharanagati, Prabhu. I surrender, right? I surrender. So this is the epitome, the topmost zenith of surrender is seen in the mentality and actions of the gopis of Braj. That's why we read about them. We should hear about Gopi Bhav. We should hear about Braja Leela. Because that type of consciousness, is required to enter Vrindavan. No permission, no admission. So you must become Gopi Anugata. We must follow, even if you are destined for Sakya Ras, or Vatsalya Ras, or Madhurya Ras. It doesn't matter what your final Sthaya Bhav is. Whatever the Rati is, you must have this permission of the gopis of Vrindavan, the permission of the Brijvasis. And you will only get the permission from them to get admission to Vrindavan by utmost surrender. We should get inspiration when we hear about the gopis' surrender and their dedication to Krishna and their total selflessness. It's actually described, one word that's used to describe the gopis' love of Vrindavan is vimugda. Mugda means forgetful, bewildered. Vimukta means they become completely self-forgetful. They become so absorbed in Krishna and His pleasure and His satisfaction and happiness from moment to moment. They forget everything about themselves. They forget I'm a gopi. They forget I'm anything. And sometimes they're so much absorbed in Krishna's pleasure and satisfaction that they become Krishna. They become Krishna. And then another gopi, and then they have pastimes together in their madness of separation, Gopi Geet. And one gopi is becoming Krishna. So, this is a very inspiring subject matter, because it's the highest thing, the highest frame, Mahabhav, Rudhabhav, Mahabhav of the gopis of Vrindavan. But there's so many teachings for us, because we may someday, in the progress of our soul, we may attain the eternal service of the gopis of Vrindavan. Here, Swarup Damodar is giving these teachings. Swarup Damodar has taught all these things, and Krishnadas Kaviraj is repeating the teachings of Swarup Damodar. In the beginning of this discussion, a few verses ago, it said this is called Rasa Tattva, the consideration of Rasa Tattva, Jiva Tattva, Nam Tattva, Prema Tattva, Shristi Tattva. These are all truths, knowledge. So here, Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying that only you can learn about this Rasa Tattva from Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar, and then all of what we're hearing are the words of Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar is none other than Lalita Sakhi. Lalita Sakhi is the Prem Guru of Radharani. And Radharani is the Prem Guru of Krishna. Krishna says, Ami Shishya He. I'm your Shishya. You're my Prem Guru. So the Guru of the Guru. Every Guru has a Guru. Right? So Radharani, Krishna, who's Krishna's Guru? Radharani. And who is the Guru of Radharani? Lalita Sakhi. Swarup Damodar. The Guru of Lalita Sakhi. Lalita Sakhi is Radharani. Lalita Sakhi is a Kayavyuha of Radharani. But when Radharani wants to become the Guru of herself, she becomes Lalita. Lalita and Vishakha, all these Astasakhis are Radharani. There's no difference. But Radharani is thinking, oh, I have to initiate Krishna in prema. So, this is the goal, is to appreciate. First there's appreciation. There's understanding. First we must understand with our intellect and with our heart. We understand what is gopi prema. This hema. Hema prema, this gold, pure gold of the gopi's prema. We understand it. We try to perceive it with the eyes of our heart and intelligence. And then we try to meditate on that prema. And then we try to surrender to that prema. And then we pray that that prema will come to us. And whenever we find someone, any place, anywhere we find someone that has that prema, we run to that person. And we fall at their feet. We bathe our minds and hearts with the dust of their feet. And we say, Kripa Guru, Kripa Guru, Kripa Guru, please. Put your feet on my head and bless me. You have that rare thing. You please bless me. I don't want this loha anymore. I don't want this lust and exploitation and pride, and I don't want it anymore. I want this pure spiritual love of the gopis of Vrindavan. So this is our treasure. This gopi prem is something that's always sitting in our minds. Not the latest news. Newspaper, what this, that, the other thing, who knows what. So many news goes on. We carry on our duties. We have our duties as brahmachari, grihastha, sannyasi, etc. Husband, wife, whatever. We carry on those duties. But inside we have this great treasure. Thinking of the gopis. Oh, there's, and then you read something, and then you can understand. When you read the pastimes of the gopis, try to see how those pastimes are displaying these qualities of dedication. And you'll be awed. You'll be awed and awestruck. It's chamatkar. It's vismita. Vismita means it's wondrous. It's amazing. Look how dedicated they are to Krishna. How surrendered they are. Oh, I don't have any of that surrender in me. I don't have any of that dedication and humility. And you pray to the page of the Bhagavatam, and you pray to the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the Kaviraj. Kaviraj is Kasturi Manjari. Kaviraj Goswami is Kasturi Manjari. So our hearts should be painted with that Kasturi. Kasturi means musk. Musk, you know, Kasturi. Kasturi is a very intoxicating aroma. That it's the scent of the male deer. And when he moves here and there in the forest, and the lady deer smells that musk, she goes crazy. She may be 1 kilometer away. She may be 5 kilometers away. And then he walks into the forest with his cologne. You know, he has his cologne on, his perfume, his musk, his kasturi. And she's, wow, there must be some handsome deer around here somewhere. And then she runs 5 kilometers. Oh, hey, what beautiful horns you have. What a nice little tail you have. Your spots are so, you have nice spots on your back. Very powerful shoulders, long legs. I'm very attractive. So this musk, so this kasturi manjari is painting our hearts. We prayed him to paint our hearts with this kasturi, this beautiful ganda. It's called Prem Ganda, the scent of Prem. Lord Chaitanya was praying when he was exhibiting the symptoms of sattvic bhava and ecstasy. The devotees were saying, oh Lord Chaitanya, you have such love for Krishna. You're so absorbed in this Mahabhava Radharani. He said, what are you talking about? Prema Naganda. Prema Naganda. I don't have Prema Naganda. I don't have a scent. I don't have a scent of Prema. I'm only making a show. I'm simply making a show of crying and making my hair stand on end. Ooh, Radhe Radhe. My hair standing on end. Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham. I'm only making a show of Romancha, Kampa, Ashu, Sarango. There's nothing, the Prema Naganda. I have not a scent of Prema. So if Kasturi Manjari, if Krishna's Kaviraj is favorable to us, then our hearts will be dipped. Our hearts will be dipped inside this Kasturi. And it'll take on such a Ganda, such a flavor of Prema. So Kasturi Manjari is appearing as Krishna's Kaviraj and giving us the secret. He's giving us a secret. How to scent your heart. Like sometimes people, they get some sugandhi, some oil, flavorful oil from the deities I've seen in Vrindavan. And they go like this. They rub it on their clothes. They put some on their gear there and they rub it on their clothes like this. These Brahmins especially. They don't care. It gets oil all over their kurta or whatever. They just, and I say, why are you doing that? Hey, it's nice. Smells nice. No, it's good. So we want our hearts to smell nice with Prem Ganda. So this Kasturi Manjari is Krishnadas Kaviraj, who has given us the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the Gopi Lilamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita is Gopi Lilamrita. This is a nectarine pastime of the gopis, displaying this topmost pure Shuddha Prem of Vrindavan, this Hema Prem. So we're offering, Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying, here, take this gold. And you're saying, no, this iron is very nice. I have this big lump of iron here, of loha. It's very nice. I like it. It's nice and black. And it makes, if you rub it here, you get all black. It's nice. He said, no, put that down. I'll give you this 1 kilo of gold. Please, you take this gold. Take this gopi frame. Give up this lust. Become dedicated. Surrender. Right now. Yes, Krishna, I want this gopi prema. I want to experience that mood of total surrender, and dedication, humility. Please accept my heart. I know it's dirty. My heart is filthy and dirty. But I desire to become pure and shiny and valuable. And I can become pure and shiny and valuable by surrender, by dedication, by humility. So these are the qualities required. So Guru Seva is to cultivate. The Guru says, okay, go out and collect some money for the temple maintenance. Oh, I don't want to go. Look, there's, and in 1 hour it's the Mahaprasadam coming off the altar. Why should I go out of the temple? So maybe I'll go after the Mahaprasadam. I'll just wait 1 or 2 hours and... Is that surrender? No, that's not surrender. The Guru says, go out. Okay, I have Tripathi's rice towel. Okay, fine. Let me go. It's not, oh, I didn't get my maha. I didn't get my maha. Have you ever heard this expression? I didn't get my maha. Oh, really? It's your maha. It belongs to you. Your name is on it. Yes, you know, everyone gets maha. It's my maha. Where's my maha? It's not your maha. It is the remnants of Radharani. It is a remnant of Sita Devi. It is a remnant of Nittai and Gaur. And if they're very happy with you and very pleased with you, they may call you and say, you please, hey, ooh, take some Mahaprasad. Ah, this is Mahaprasad. This is mercy. This is the mercy of Krishna. He has called me and given His mercy. He has given me His embrace. He has given me His kiss in the form of His prasadam. I can't demand it. This is my Krishna. This is my Mahaprasadam. We have no right over Mahaprasadam. You have a right, Ishavasya Menam Sarvam. You have a right to accept your quota. Everyone has a right to get some grains. We live by grains. According to your karma and destiny, you'll get so many grains. You have a right to rice, dal, chapati, some food stuff. Every bird has a right, every ant, every dog has a right, and he gets his proper maintenance, his quota. But no one has any right to Mahaprasada. This is only mercy. You can't claim it, you can't own it, you can't possess it. It must be given to you. It must be received. So we are always praying for that Mahaprasad. Please, when will I get that Mahaprasad? Because personally, we very much like going Jagannath Puri, but for 2 years we haven't been there. So I'm always hankering for Jagannath Mahaprasadam. Inside, part of me, I'm always thinking, oh, Jagannath, please, can I get some Mahaprasadam? And I'm thinking like this, because Jagannath Mahaprasadam is something extraordinary. It is all prasadam, everything is extraordinary, but only Jagannath Mahaprasadam is described in the scriptures. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jagannath Mahaprasadam, Rajendranandan Krishna. It's something very extraordinary. Mahaprasadam is extraordinary everywhere. But in Skanda Puran, Padma Puran, so many Puranas it describes the Purushottam Kshetra, the Mahaprasad of Jagannath. It is very special. So the other day I was in Vrindavan. I came from Radhakund to Vrindavan for one day, or half a day. And then, actually the day before I met my friend from Risen Baba from Radhakund. He said, some Jagannath Mahaprasadam has just come to my ashram. Why don't you come to my ashram? So I went to his ashram. And he had all special prasadam because he's a Risen. So they have the inside, the inside path. So all kinds of special sweets, halava, or like suji and rolled in little, like cakes, all kinds of special cakes. I said, oh, very nice. Jagannath mercy. So then I went to Vrindavan. Then someone said, oh, Maharaj, I came back from Rathyatra. Please come to my room. Okay. I went and he gave me prasadam. I took Jagannath Mahaprasadam. Then I was walking down the stairs and someone said, oh Maharaj, I have some Mahaprasad. I said, where? From? He said, Jagannath. I said, oh, Jagannath. So in 2 days, I had 3 times I got Jagannath Mahaprasadam. I was like, oh, I was so appreciative. It's great fortune. It's great bhagya. Especially Jagannath Mahaprasadam. As soon as, when Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, when someone would come from Puri to Calcutta or anywhere he was, and they would bring some Jagannath Mahaprasadam. As soon as they would come in this room, they'd say, Gurudev, Srila Gurudev, we have brought some Jagannath Mahaprasadam. And he's writing and he's sitting down. He would immediately get up and offer Dandabad. He would get up, huh? Jagannath Mahaprasadam? Siddhanta Saraswati would stand up and offer Dandabad. Jai Jagannath, he would start offering all these prayers, so many Sanskrit prayers and glorification of Mahaprasadam and the taste of Krishna's lips and this and that. And then he would, then and the devotee, the disciple, was standing there. Well, what to do? My Guru Maharaj is offering Dandavat, and I'm holding Krishna in my hand. I'm holding Jagannath Mahaprasadam. But the Hari Bhakti Vilas says, if you're carrying Prasadam, you can't go down. My Guru is there, he's lying at my feet. My Guru is lying at my feet, and I'm holding Prasadam. What to do? The scriptures say, if you're holding Prasadam, you can't get down. You have to, because that's offense to the Prasadam. But I'm standing above my Guru's head with my feet, and that's offense. Hey, Bhagavan. Oh, Bhagavan. Oh, Krishna, please forgive me. So then he stands up. Now the Guru stands up. And then what does he do? Then he starts doing parikrama. He starts doing parikrama, the Jagannath Mahaprasadam. And not only the Mahaprasadam, but the person who's holding the Mahaprasadam, who happens to be Krishna Das, who just got initiated yesterday. And the Paramahamsa Jagat Guru is doing parikrama 4 times of Krishna Das and Jagannath in the form of the prasadam. Now he's thinking, oh my God, first my Gurudev offers Dandavat to my feet. First Gurudev offers Dandavat to my feet. Now he's doing parikrama me. Oh, what hell am I going to? I think I'll go to all 24 hells. There's 24 hellish planets. I think I'm going one by one by one. Oh, Bhagavan, please forgive me. There's 28 hells, whatever. I forgot. It's been a long time since I've been there. I said 24 hells, and he corrected me. There's 28. There's a few extras. More variety. So then he's thinking, oh, Bhagavan, please forgive me. So then after doing prakrama, then Gurudev says, you please. And so then he gives. Then he sits on the floor. No mat. Then the disciple runs to get an asana because his guru is going to sit on the floor. And Gurudev says, no. The niyam, when one takes Jagannath Mahaprasadam, no asana. You sit, just sit and you take. So then the disciple thinks, oh my God. First, he does Dandavat Prakrama, my guru. Then he does Prakrama. Then I can't offer him an asana when he sits down. Oh, Bhagavan, please. So this is, Jagannath Mahaprasadam is so extraordinary. So special. So maybe by talking about this Mahaprasadam, I may be fortunate today to get some Mahaprasadam. Because there's three ways to get Krishna prema. There's three secrets, which this is old news for everyone here, we've told. But in case you forgot, the first way to get Vraja prema is to go to Mayapur. Navadvipa Dham. Audharya Dham. Audharya. Very magnanimous, very beneficent, benevolent Dham. Navadvipa Dham. Navadvipa Mandal. And you go to Navadvipa Dham and you immerse yourself in Kirtan. Kirtan Ras. You drink. You drink with your ears and your eyes and your nose and your heart and all your panchindriya. You drink the Kirtan Ras coming from the Kirtaniers, from the Shuddha Bhaktas, the Antaranga Bhaktas of Mahaprabhu. They're chanting in the kirtan, the bhajan and the kirtan. And by sitting there and hearing that kirtan, shravanam, hearing that kirtan, you will get Krishna prema. That's sankirtan. In Mayapur, by hearing or chanting, what to speak of ulas, dancing, you'll get Krishna prema in that way. Only that. Nothing else needs to be done. Only do sankirtan. Parinam sankirtan. With the Shuddha Bhakti. Now, you come to Braj, Vrindavan, Braj Mandal, Parosi Kosh, Brikama, Dwarasavan, Shamakun, Radhakun, Giri Govardhan, Jamunaji, Vamsivad, Nidiban, so many Pevakun. So you go there, all those places and more, and you roll in the dust. Bottom side, back side, upside, downside, right side, left side. This way, like when you cook chapati, this side and then that side. Right? You cook the chapati this way, on the tawa, whatever they call it, tawa, then go like this, and then you put on the gas. So you put yourself, you put downside, and then upside, full coating. Not only partial, not only forehead. Most people go like this. Only this forehead, only a little bit of dust. Okay. And then they go like this. But she full coating, 100, head, tail, feet, hand, everything. I mean, some still have, no? I have a little one. And still, because we came from monkeys, right? Mine's little, but, you know, because you're Indian, so you don't have any more tail, but mine's still little. Anyway, so you roll in the dust, and simply by the Braja Raj, by the dust of Vrindavan, the Charana Renu from Nanda Nandan, you will get Krishna prema. You live in the dust, you glorify the dust, you eat the dust. Every day people live in Vrindavan, they go out, as soon as they go outside, they take the Braj Raj, they take some. They put some here, and they put some here. This is their food stuff. Then they offer water to Tulsi, then they water Ashvat Briksha, then they offer Tarpan to Surya. This is the Brijvasis. They do this. But the first thing they do, the first worshipable object is the dust of Vrindavan. Dust goes on my head, dust goes in my mouth. So that's Brijvasi. They don't roll around. But the point is they're honoring. This is first. And then Tulsi. And then Ashvat Briksh. People tree. Then Surya. And then they do their, go to work or go to Shiva temple or Krishna temple, whatever. So just by the Braja Raj alone, by the dust of Vrindavan on your head, on your heart, and your mind, you can attain Krishna prema. Now, We go to Purushottam Kshetra, to Jagannath Puri, Mundachar Dham. How do you get perfection there? How do you attain Krishna Prem there? Is it by Sankirtan? Is it by Kirtan? Is it by rolling in the sand on the beach? You go to the beach by the Indian, whatever, what is that ocean? Bay of Bengal? Bay of Bengal or something, that water there? Bay of Bengal, and you roll on the sand, and you chant Hare Krishna. That's all, you also get Prem that way. But what's told in Shastras is that if you go to Jagannath Puri, you take Jagannath Mahaprasadam. Ah, Akanta Bhog. Akanta Bhog. Eat up to your neck. Only that far, not up to your, not up to your, up here. But you can go this high. You can fill your tank from bottom to top. Mahaprasadam. It's at least, it's almost 2 feet. Right? From here. Depends on how long you are. This, where's that Rasapriya? He's long. And this Paramanand, Keshwa. They're long fellows, they're tall. So there they have a little more space. From bottom to top it's a little longer, maybe 2.5 feet. So the more Mahaprasadam, we can put more Mahaprasadam inside. But we say we have to stop at the neck. Why do we say stop at the neck? It says right in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Akanta Bhog. Akanta Bhog, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they would sit there. Gatana Akatana. Gatana Agatana. I love this. Vishnu Chakravarti is explaining in his Tika, says, Gatana Agatana. It means the power, the Shakti, to make the possible impossible and to make the impossible possible. Krishna has the power. Agatana, Gatana Agatana. So it seems impossible. My heart is so black. My mind is so black with rag and dvesh and kam and krodh and all these things. How will I attain this gold, this Vishuddha Prem of the gopis? It is possible. We heard this bhajan this morning. Lao to me, maha mantra, lao to me. You take that maha mantra, and the first thing that happens by taking that maha mantra is jeev jago. You'll wake up. First your mind will wake up. Oh, I've been wasting my life. I should serve God. The goal of life is liberation and praying. Oh yeah, that's right. So that's the first jeev, the jago. First you'll wake up to that. First your mind will wake up. Then your intelligence will wake up. Then your hankara will wake up. And finally your atma will wake up. The atma prem, the love of the soul will wake up and go to Krishna. It's such a nice bhajan we had this morning. Very nice. I only wanted to hear bhajan. This bhajan, this is not bhajan, this is prem rat. We say bhajan, oh, they did Krishna bhajan. Maybe professionals do Krishna bhajan, but when we hear pure devotees chanting Krishna bhajan, that is prem rasa. We are not hearing, we're drinking. Everyone goes, oh, did you hear the bhajan? Very good. We had a nice wedding party, we had Bengali bhajan. It was so sweet, so nice. We heard nice bhajan. But we devotees, we don't hear bhajan. We never hear bhajan. We drink bhajan. We drink it through our ears. We don't hear it. For us, it's not shabda. For us, it's rasa. It's not shabda. It's not sound. It's rasa. It is kirtan. We call it, it's not called kirtan shabda. It's called kirtan ras. Ras means liquid. It means flavor. It means taste. And that means you drink. So we drink the bhajan ras. We say, yes. Did you hear the bhajan? Oh, I didn't hear any bhajan. No, it's very nice bhajan. No, I didn't hear. You were there. No, I was drinking. I was drinking the bhajan. I was drinking the bhajan, the ras of the bhajan. I didn't hear any mridanga. I didn't hear any harmonium. I was only drinking. And what happened when I drank? I got intoxicated. I got totally intoxicated. I forgot everything. I forgot about giving class. I forgot about who I was or where I was. I was simply drinking and drinking and drinking. Oh, more, aniyur, aniyur.